Okay, praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And indeed, we thank him for the grace, because his grace is sufficient for us. And he has continued to strengthen and enable us, because we know that this is his work. And it is him that enables us by all means. It's a work of grace, and it's not any human effort. Now, today we will look, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, the waiting period, the period of tarrying, and then just understand what happened, and then just possibly we might be able to link it with the day of Pentecost, if God allows. But anyway, let us look at the period of waiting, and today we are in the book of Acts. And just to bring us back to this, remember, if you have to link Luke and Acts, because Luke and Acts are actually two books that are written by the same author, and they follow one another. So you will see a repetition of Luke coming to an end, and then if you compare it to Acts, then you will see that it is a continuation of Acts. And maybe just to jump back to Luke 24, there's an important verse there that says, in verse 49, it says, "Behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Now, what Jesus tells them, that you wait. Tarrying is about waiting, is about prayer, is about fasting, is about, you know, active waiting. It's not really just that you do nothing, but they were told to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And we also said that Jesus had filled them with the Holy Spirit. And this is something that you need to see in John chapter 20, where he breathed on them. You know, the Bible says that in John chapter 20, verse 22, that, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And he told them, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So in terms of them being regenerated, in terms of them, the Holy Spirit coming to reside in them, they received the Holy Spirit at the point where Jesus breathed in them. But he tells them that they need to tarry in Jerusalem, to wait in Jerusalem until they are endued with power from on high. Now, that is very important, because what we are seeing is that Jesus was telling them, for you to do the work that I want you to do, you need to be empowered. And you need, this is also what we call the anointing, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you need this baptism in the Holy Spirit that will give you the unique giftings of the Holy Spirit. And it is evidenced by the speaking in tongues. And there is now the unique manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And so ideally, some people believe that you only receive the Holy Spirit when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. But that doctrinally, you see, is not correct. Because even in the early disciples, they received the Holy Spirit after then they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. So baptism in the Holy Spirit is ideally what you will call a second event that happens to the believer who has already received the Holy Spirit that regenerates them when they are born again. And you know, in Acts 1 verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power," and I like how King James puts it, "after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And maybe just to look at some the key wordings there, maybe let me just switch there to King James, because it gives us a different perspective. You know, if you look at New King James, it says you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. But comes upon you. But if you look at King James rendering, it's very different. It says, "But ye shall receive power," then comma, "after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Now, if you look at that, it tells you that it separates the receiving of power And the receiving of power happens after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, that means that the Holy Ghost comes upon, and this is what we are calling baptism in the Holy Spirit, and it's different from the Holy Spirit that is within. So if you say if you want to look at it, anointing, there's the anointing that is within the believer, which is the anointing that makes you know all things, the anointing that teaches you, but then there's also the anointing that comes upon the believer. Now, the anointing that comes upon the believer is the one that empowers them to do the work of God and gives them the ability to be an effective witness. And I want you to understand something. It says, witnesses unto me. And maybe I'm just going back to New King James. It says, witnesses to me. That means before you are a witness to the world, Jesus expects that you will be a witness to him first. And that is why if you look at, is it 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says, study to show yourself a workman approved of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. That means there are many types of workmen, but if you want to be a workman that is approved unto God, so that means it is God that marks you that you are approved even before men approve you as a workman. You understand? So there are many people who work, but not many are approved by God. But God says, if you study, if you're diligent to study, then you'll be a workman approved unto God. So I want you to understand that there's supposed to be witnesses to Christ in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And this is a principle also used, that you first start with where you are. Remember, Jesus said, if you are faithful in another man's work, then you can be trusted with your own. So whenever we serve Christ, we start with another man's work. There's no one who will start a ministry that has never served. There's no one and then it says, after you have served in another man's work, then you can be trusted with little. He that is faithful with little can be trusted with much, and he that is faithful with much can be trusted with eternal riches. So there are levels of faithfulness, but faithfulness is first started. The least level is another man's work. Now, that tells you that if you are not doing the work of your supervisor or the work of your boss or your employer, if you're not faithful in it, then there is no way that God will give you your own. And this is a principle for ministry. And when he says in Jerusalem, it is with the people that you know. In Judea and Samaria, it is those that are slightly different than you. And then to the ends of the earth will be now people who are completely different from you. So ideally, you cannot say you're going to be a prophet to the nations if you have not yet first been effective to ministering to the people who are near you, to the people who are like you. You start with your Jerusalem, then you go to Judea, then you will go to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And you will see this as a principle with God. God does not use anyone he has not approved. God does not use anyone he has not tested. Now, verse 9, Acts chapter 1, verse 9, let us read. It says, now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Verse 12, it says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room, and where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. This all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. So The Bible tells us that we looked at that in 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus appeared to 500 of his disciples, many who are still alive today, majority of whom were still alive at the time of Paul's writing, and he appeared to them at once. So that means that 500 people saw Jesus going up, and this is what we're able to see in the last words of Jesus in the teaching yesterday as they went up. But now when they go back, they are ideally we expected 500 people to stay waiting, but unfortunately we see only 120. And if we read verse 15, the Bible says, and maybe just to highlight that what is important is, as they were tarrying, what were they doing? The Bible says they all continued with one accord. That means they were united in purpose, united in prayer and supplication. And you can see together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now, this is very important for us to understand that, remember, Jesus had earthly brothers. And remember the time when Mary, his mother, wanted to come and see Jesus, and Jesus was like, look, my brothers and my mother are these ones here that hear my words, because they thought that he was mad. They wanted to take him home. They were like, this brother of ours has lost his mind. Let us take him home. But then Jesus told them that these are my brothers and sisters. But we can see that Mary, his mother, and Jesus's brothers believed in him. Now, I want you to understand that the two brothers of Jesus here that we see even in Scripture, that even later write the books, are James and Jude. Now, the book of James, the one that comes after Hebrews, is written by James, and this is not James, the son of Zebedee. Remember, the sons of Zebedee were James and John, but this is James, the brother of Jesus. And Jude, who is also the brother of Jesus. And James eventually becomes the leader of the church. And you will see later on, when the church was deliberating on what to do with the Gentiles, remember when the Gentiles sent the question about circumcision, then it is James who finally stood up and gave the final verdict, showing us that he was the next leader after Peter, because Peter was in the meeting, but at that point, I believe Peter was already old and he had handed over the leadership of the church in Jerusalem to James, who was a brother of Jesus. But you see, now they no longer knew Jesus after the flesh. Remember how Paul puts it, that we used to know Jesus after the flesh. That means we used to know him humanly speaking as our brother, as a Jew, but we no longer consider any man after the flesh, because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples altogether. The number of names was about 120, and said, now, this is, remember, Peter, Jesus had prayed for him. He told him, Simon, Simon, Satan wants to sift you as wheat, has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that after you have been restored, you shall strengthen your brothers. And you can see the natural leader, or the one on whom Jesus said, you are Cephas, you are Peter, and on this rock I shall build my church, stood up. And the Bible says, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120, and said to them, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus, for he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now it tells us, now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails, or his intestines, gushed out, and it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness of his resurrection. And they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, whose surname was Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in his ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So for me, what is key is Peter stood up, Peter was restored, he strengthened his brothers, and he now went into Scripture. And this is very important, what we speak about, finding yourself in Scripture. What Jesus did, Jesus went to Scripture, to the book of Isaiah, and found where it was written about him and said, "This Scripture today is fulfilled in your hearing." And likewise, Peter now starts to quote the Scriptures. And remember, the Scriptures they had at this point were the Old Testament. He now goes to the Psalms, and it says that this Scripture had to be fulfilled, in which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, for he was numbered with us and obtained this part in ministry. And the Bible says, "For it is written in the book of Psalms," and this is Psalm 69, verse 25, "that let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it," and it says, "and let another take his office," or his bishopric, you know, or his episcopen, that is the word, or position of overseer. So let another take his office. And so you can see this is a time that the disciples are waiting. They are waiting, they are tarrying, and you can imagine it wasn't a long period. It was just 10 days, because between Pentecost, which is the Feast of Pentecost, and the time of Passover when Jesus was, you know, was crucified, it is just 50 days. That's why it is called the Feast of Pentecost. And that's why you'll find some people say that the first people who celebrated Pentecost were actually the Jews, and the Jews were celebrating Pentecost. And even the disciples themselves were not really celebrating Pentecost. It is just that the day that it happened, that they waited, that the Holy Spirit came upon them, which you will be able to read in Acts chapter 2, is the day of Pentecost. So ideally, the use of Pentecost as the name of is just the day that it happened, but I know we always see it as one of the denominations, and we believe it as Pentecost. So anyway, just to highlight that, so that you can be fully aware of that, that Pentecost was already a feast of the disciple of the Jews, and they were basically praying. They were not even celebrating that Pentecost. They were praying and waiting for the promise of Jesus. And then the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one accord in one place. And then that one, then we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So just what we've been able to see is that they were told to tarry. They went to tarry, they went to pray and fast and wait to be clothed with power from on high, because we have said that clothing with power is very important for ministry, because that is when God will mark you and anoint you and empower you and give you spiritual gifts by which you can be able to serve him. And that is the anointing that comes upon, and every believer requires that anointing. So when you find that God has given you the gift to speak in tongues, then now you are even made an effective witness. You are now empowered, you are now anointed upon, and you have the ability to now serve God effectively. You can be a witness unto Christ. So anyway, I'll stop there, and I pray that God will give us insight into this. Brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel. Thank you for the message. Nothing to add from
me, sir. Okay, thank you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that indeed your command is to tarry, and to wait until we are clothed with power from on high. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, those that are trusting in you, to be empowered, to be endowed, to be anointed upon, and for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. I pray that, Lord, in this moment, may they receive the anointing, may they receive the anointing, may they be empowered, may they receive the Holy Spirit upon them, may they be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that they shall be marked for your service, they shall experience the unique blessing of speaking in tongues and being filled with the Holy Spirit and work for you and you working in them to the glory and praise of your holy name. Indeed, them that are waiting on you, may they experience that beauty, that refreshing, that rest that comes from your presence, O God. Indeed, this day is ordered of you. Go ahead of us, protect us, watch over us, and sustain us. In all these things, we thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Have a blessed, blessed morning ahead.